welcome back to Ping. This is episode 151. Almost as good as Bacardi 151,
almost.
But just not quite. Ping 151. Good for you. Ping, obviously, the weekly show that brings you all the hottest news stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about. And also all sorts of actions. Twitter.
I am.
Just poking.
The Shining.
Mm-hmm. All this stuff. So last week, Paul mentioned that he wanted to buy a battle yacht.
Yes.
And that you thought this might be potentially out of the appropriate price range for your current budget.
Current budget.
But clearly in the future this will be fine.
Yeah. Apparently Yakko Warner was like, boom, I'm going to throw down some of my Warner inheritance money.
Right.
And just make it just cheap for the masses. Send a link out to Playmobil Robo Gang Battle Yacht.
There it is. Look at that. So you can get it for only $49.99 US. You too can have. So you essentially, your dreams for future goals have just been,
I know,
potentially reached.
And if I buy two.
Oh, yeah.
I can save 20% off a $100 or more purchase. So I should buy two of those. And then tip like two pennies. So that way I hit that 100 and then I get 20% off. So then it's down to 80.
You always know how to make things fun.
I know, right? It's all about numbers and analytics and finding the deals.
Is that what it's like to go shopping with you?
No,
Do you
want to see shopping? Okay, here we are on Amazon.
Oh, what about for clothes?
Free 2-day shipping. I haven't bought new clothes in like 5 years.
And it's apparent.
there's a little hole in one of these.
It's right here. Oh, I was going to say something earlier, but I still like the shirt. It's embroidered. I mean, the threads are coming out.
Yeah, well, that's part of the,
right,
the thing.
Is that what they told you when you picked it up at the thrift store?
Oh, right.
Yeah. No, that's the style.
Yeah.
You know, worn, loved, weathered. Anyway, I also want to thank D Tower, who apparently is a big fan of Microsoft Conventions. He gave us the actual rundown of what was given out, because we had a list of, like, people were sort of projecting and guessing what they thought was going to be the giveaway, if any, at the upcoming Microsoft Build contest or conference. And so we kind of tried to remember what people had given out at past, or what we had given out at past Microsoft Conventions. And PDC 2009 was the Acer tablet. PDC 2010 was the Windows Phone.
Boom.
And Build 2011 was the Samsung Slate. So who knows what they'll give out this year? But all those worthy prizes.
I think they're gonna give out Azure data center racks, just like in a big semi.
Yeah.
Everybody gets their own semi. You get a semi, and
we
don't have any more cameras.
Right.
It's just a single camera. I forgot about that.
That would be awesome. Or they could give out kittens. Speaking of kittens, I got one last night.
Oh, that was a wonderful
segue. You like that?
See how she's kind of like lobbed into herself.
I got a kitten last night. His name is Austin, and he's a Siamese, and so cute.
Yeah?
So cute.
Is Tegan going to eat him?
Tegan, my large and somewhat aggressive pit bull, who I love, doesn't really care about it. My cat, Vegas, not a fan.
Mm.
And my other small dog, Max, just wants to, like, play with it. So
got it.
He has been in the house for, like, 8 or 9 hours now. Very hard to leave him this morning.
Yep.
But, so you never know. They could give out kittens.
Yeah.
Ponies.
Speaking of random dudes, there's some random dude that commented.
Were we speaking about random dudes?
Oh, see, it's just another terrible segue.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of random dudes, go ahead.
There's some random dude that said, because we were also reading out to the trollish comments from the previous episode where
he said, this show is terrible, I watch them all.
Yeah, exactly. And then
can't take my
this
away.
Guy has just glowing feedback. He says, this isn't that bad.
It's not that bad.
He's like, I don't really follow shows
Ping!
On
not
channel.
Not that bad.
Yes. Critically acclaimed.
I'm going to get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Watch it. It won't kill you.
Do you think you can have like little things?
And get some holes put in it?
No problem.
Have those shipped out. Ping. It's not that bad.
All right. Let's just start the show.
All right. So, Paul, being a seasoned veteran video game journalist that I am.
Oh, that's what
and
I thought.
Having covered the industry for many, many years. Going
decades.
On almost decade. Oh, 13 years.
That's more than 14. A decade.
Yeah. So a long time. And every year when E3 comes around, even though we're not necessarily close to E3 time now, People want to know, who's going to win? Microsoft, Sony, or Nintendo? Who's going to make the big news announcements? Who's, you know, the three big, sort of big players in the industry? Who's going to win? Who's the best? Who's the best? This is a constant war.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Microsoft is leading the pack now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it
I
is.
I mean, since the whole Kinect announcement, I think Microsoft's basically owned E3. I mean, we're having the most amazing tech. Mm-hmm. We're having the most engagement. We're selling the most units. We have the best games, and it just
Absolutely.
Seems like we're on a roll.
Yeah. Now, not only is that the opinion of Paul Mestermaker, but also of CNN Money, because they wrote an article basically saying what you just informed us of.
I know. Well, here's the thing: is like when I feel something's true,
right.
I don't need data to back it up.
Yeah, you just will it, and it is.
Yeah. I mean, sure. You may look at things like for example, in the last 18 months, that Microsoft has sold more consoles every single month than both Sony and Nintendo.
Right. Now that was not true when Nintendo first came out with their Wii, because at the time,
yeah, they were a wee bit ahead.
They were. 11 points. Were you just saving that one in your pocket?
Yeah, that was right off the.
That just come?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they came right out of the gate. 20 million consoles, I think, in the first.
Yeah, you know, they were
years.
Cheap. What is this crazy motion sensor thing? We'd never seen that before. Great for kids and families. You know, came flying off the shelves. Since then, sales have declined.
Yeah.
You know, obviously our Kinect sensor is taking that technology idea concept to the next level.
Yeah.
We can do a lot more amazing things with it. And the gaming experience that you get on the Xbox, not only the gaming experience, but the entire media
right.
experience that you get with your Xbox.
That's where I think Xbox has really shined. Like, sure, there's always been, like, these amazing games on the platform. Clearly, the Halo franchise is a
right.
huge part of Xbox's success. But it's also in being able to go out to the non-traditional hardcore gamers, where you can find the children that love the Kinect. You can find the families that are able to have a great viewing experience through Netflix and now mm-hmm. Hulu Plus and Amazon Video and all these great ways of getting immediate access to thousands and tens of thousands of movies and TV shows in HD
yeah.
Right on your big screen.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then one of the things that people were projecting about years ago was that the handheld gaming market, you know, because we all had, you know, the Nintendo DS, you might have had the PSP, you know, we're really now the handheld gaming systems are sort of going the way of the dodo bird.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how quickly the change has come once there were, you know, significant improvements into smartphone and tablet OSs,
right.
where game developers now have these incredibly powerful devices that people are already carrying with them. So now there's less of a need for the dedicated gaming devices, and there's even
right. I mean, if anything, to me now it's a hassle to have to carry another device,
yeah,
you know?
I'm
all in one.
I mean, I have all sorts of devices now. I have two separate laptops. I have a Slate device, and I have an e-reading device. So I have like all these devices with me at all times, and it's just like I'm constantly just like going between all of them.
And why, Paul?
Because
why?
I like reading. I don't really like watching TV, and I can't really keep up with the Kardashians. I have enough of this stuff altogether.
You lost me.
But they're here. Let me
when
bring you back with some
what?
Data.
Back it up.
You love numbers here.
Crunch some numbers at me.
So when we were talking about the shift between having lots of games on dedicated gaming devices versus smartphones. So in 2009, Nintendo represented about 70% of the U.S. gaming market in software sales.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2011, just 2 years later, they dropped that down to about 36%. And in the same time frame, if you look at the top two smartphone vendors by unit sales, they had 19% of the gaming market,
right.
Mobile gaming market. And that
3 years ago.
Yeah, and then that increased to 58% just 2 years later. So there's clearly a shift where we are seeing.
So while everyone else is consolidating their devices and getting less, you're getting more.
Well, I just like all the different devices. I mean, they all have different things. Like, you know, there's the keyboard on my laptops, and then I have my personal laptop versus my work laptop, and then I have the Slate that I can just, like, you know, flick stuff on.
Yes.
And then there's the e-reader, which is really nice on my eyes.
Because what are you currently reading?
I am currently reading Influence, which is, okay.
Well, me too. Good. That and 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, yeah. I've done that one way back in the day.
Anyway, the moral of the story here is Microsoft versus Sony versus Nintendo. We know who wins. We know. All right, Paul, so I'm sure you've seen the movie The Social Network?
Yeah.
Based on the history and story of Facebook?
Right, totally accurate.
Totally accurate. No dramatizations there?
None at all.
But some things that were exciting about is they talk about the growth, how it went from very small, and
yes.
then they were all excited to watch their amount of users, you know, grow and grow, what they believed to be really rapid at the time.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it wasn't just the growth that they had. It was also the engagement that they had all along the way.
I'm trying to make a point here, Paul.
Oh, what's the point you're trying
to make? The point I'm trying to talk about how long it took Facebook to get to 10 million users.
How long did it take?
Long time, Paul.
Okay.
Whereas with Microsoft's Outlook.com, we had 10 million users in what? 2 weeks?
Holy cow.
Hey, 10 million users. Look at that. We talked about Outlook.com a few weeks ago when it was just released and how they had revamped Hotmail and made it all snazzy and user-friendly and lots of updates. And people were saying, even people on Engadget, Gizmodo, saying, this is the web service email for you. And apparently 10 million people agree. Probably
yeah.
because we talked about it and said
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, easily. This was you know, driven by the 38,000 views on our Ping video.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. then those people talked to their friends.
Right. Yeah, I think people just downloaded it and then they uploaded it to other places so that we couldn't even capture all the views.
Right, I mean, it would crash our servers.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
so we'll take credit for that. Otherwise, congratulations to the Outlook team, 10 million users.
Yeah, so 10 million users. I would like to see, I mean, these things are sometimes called vanity metrics where it's like people selectively give out, you know, metrics that are interesting. I would love to see the engagement behind it. Like, how many of the people have
98% of all statistics are made up.
Oh, okay. And I think 5 out of every 4 Americans are bad at math.
Probably.
but there's also some interesting things in this article around SkyDrive.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't just Outlook that had the update. So Outlook had the update a couple weeks ago. Now there's this massive revamp of SkyDrive where it pretty much all of the UI for SkyDrive's changed. They added a really good feature called Instant Search, so mm-hmm. you can search through all your documents. It's not just the titles of the documents, but it's also the contents of the documents underneath. So if you want to search for anything in there, you can do that very quickly.
Just like I have in my Outlook currently.
Yeah, so it doesn't do the highlighting just yet.
Oh, I do like that.
Yeah, and it as you're typing, it doesn't do like the incremental searching through everything.
Right.
So you have to hit enter. But I imagine
I can deal with that.
Yeah.
I can deal
I'm
with
sure
that.
I'm sure that's okay. They also make these really big tiles with the new Windows 8 style UI. that shows
beautiful.
The
and they announced that this is going to be available for Android soon.
Yeah.
It's out for the iPhone and Windows Phone, the SkyDrive app.
Yeah, so we covered those on a previous episode of Ping, and there were third parties that had access to the SkyDrive API, and they were able to have their own apps on Android, but now there will be a Microsoft app. And also, really good news for developers, there were some restrictions that we had on the API for accessing SkyDrive's data, and now we've lifted a lot of those restrictions. So there's no longer any type of resolution maximum that you can have for pictures. So if you want to upload super high resolution pictures through the API, you're able to do that. You can also upload any file extension up to SkyDrive through the API. So you can put whatever you want up there, just make sure you don't violate any type of copyright.
Right, and SkyDrive is free, right? So we should all just be using it if you aren't already. I am.
Yeah, yeah. If you haven't signed up already, you can get 7 gigabytes of free storage. There was if you had signed up a long time ago, there was a brief window of time where you could get your 25 gigabytes. So had you seen my blog a couple months ago, you would have been able to follow those instructions. But now,
7 gigs is good.
7 gigs.
All right. Paul, have you ever been in a movie theater when, you know, they give you that forewarning, please silence your phones and don't text during the movie and all this stuff, but some numbskull, you know, usually forgets, and in the middle of the most intense scene, you hear bling, bling, or whatever their, you know, ringtone is, and then you see them, and they're, like, fumbling, and then they get their phone, and there's, like, 30 buttons they gotta push, and they figure out, and finally, you know, the thing has been ringing for, like, 7 or 8 rings by the time they figure out how to turn off the ringer. Has that ever happened to you, Paul?
Nope. Has it happened to you?
It's been me. That was me. That was me a few nights ago, and I couldn't figure out how to silence my phone. But Nokia is
Nokia?
Now Oh, God. is now fixing that problem with the new update for their U.S. and Canadian Lumia 900, and it's called Flip to Silence. So apparently, your phone is ringing, you turn it over, silent.
Yep.
I can see why this would be useful in situations like the aforementioned movie phone lost in purse fiasco. But I'm worried that if I'm, you know, what if I was just walking down the street or something and my phone was ringing and it accidentally flipped and then I missed an important call from Madonna?
Well, that to me sounds like a very likely scenario. We should really get on the Nokia product managers that thought of this feature and just chastise them because that is clearly the primary
use case. I think that the phone would accidentally flip off frequently.
I
don't know how often my phone gets flipped upside down, but I mean, I could be doing a cartwheel and miss a call.
Right. I imagine you get flipped off all the time, so it wouldn't surprise me that your phone also...
This is true. More often than you'd know.
I think with the close partnership that Microsoft has with the Nokia engineering team, that we would be able to write some pretty stellar code that could use all the wonderful sensors in the device, from the proximity sensor to the accelerometer.
The gyroscope.
All those great things that we could, you know, figure out.
So you think that the engineers could figure out that problem even though I couldn't?
You gotta be kidding me!
I think there's a chance.
Is that what you're saying?
They're probably...
I think this is great. I think people are sort of glancing over this story as though this isn't big news. This is amazing.
You know, I always thought with my Windows phone that I always have mine on vibrate. But whenever it's vibrating and I pick it up, like the vibration stops because like I already have it in my hand. So I don't know if this is really like a new thing or if I'm just completely crazy and that functionality was never in my phone.
That doesn't happen.
I think we may have to do a test.
We should. We'll shoot a little bonus scene because you'll call me. We'll do this after the show. We're going to record it.
Okay.
So you're saying, just so we're clear, you're going to call me and my phone's going to be here on my laptop and it's going to vibrate. And when I pick it up, without answering it, it's going to stop vibrating?
Possibly. I think...
Stay tuned!
Okay. All right, Laura, are you a very political person?
I am, and I often choose to not share my political views with the people.
Wonderful. Well, you no longer need to share your political views because there are all sorts of internal aliases here at Microsoft where people are debating all sorts of things. There are all sorts of conversations going on Facebook and on Twitter, and there's just an enormous amount of data out there about people, you know, spouting out their opinions of who they want to win, who they think will win, who they're going to vote for, who they're not going to vote for. And there is an amazing researcher from MSR that has now started to figure out a way where in real time he can do this sentiment analysis and be able to show who, based off all of this data of all the massive amounts of thought going on around the world on the web, how he can codify that into a model and start predicting elections.
Well, here's a question I have for that. This assumes that most voters are A, internet users, and B, vocal internet users.
False.
Right.
Okay, so his model actually uses both online and offline sources. So there are some...
You didn't mention that.
Yeah, I was just trapping you.
Yeah,
I just like you to be
say
wrong.
That part.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else is he using?
So,
newspapers?
So there are exit polls, there are other polls where people will call, get called on the phone. There are all sorts of things where there are all these different organizations that are doing these types of polling, and then they publish their results online, and then he's able to scrape those results in real time and then put them into this weighted model. Now, some of the interesting things about this is that he's done research back to like the mid-1880s and has figured out that based off of certain data that some types of questions lead to a more accurate outcome than other types of questions. For example, a lot of exit polling says, now that you've left the polls, who did you vote for? So they'll say, oh, I voted for this candidate or I voted for that candidate.
Sure.
So then they'll mark it down. Now, that he's found that that's actually the far less likely to predict the outcome than if you were to ask somebody who, not only who did you vote for, but who do you expect to win?
Okay.
So they're very different things. Like, you may vote for somebody who has no chance of winning.
Right.
Just to, you know, cast your vote.
Sure.
So what, by having this sentiment analysis of who you expect to win, it's actually, I think he said it was like 10 or 11 times more likely that you would be able to predict the outcome based off understanding everyone's sentiment of who they expect to win.
So basically, he's asking people who they predict will win.
Yes.
And then claiming that prediction as his own.
Yes.
That's amazing.
But he crowdsources this.
No, it's amazing.
And he's done some phenomenal research that basically proves his point of view to these high degrees of accuracy, and that you don't even need a representative sample of the U.S., for example, in order to get an outcome that has a very high degree of certainty.
I'm sure this has some really amazing analytics and, you know, data behind it that support it. But personally, I just like to be surprised.
Well, I'm sure you can be surprised all the time, so long as you don't go to predictwise.com,
which is a
website that we've released that shows the breakdown of all the different...
Oh, it's who's going to win the Super Bowl, it asks. Let's see.
No.
Wait, I want to see. Don't ruin it for me. Let's see. I didn't see that one. I only saw the politics one. You didn't... What?
Oh.
Where do the Jets come in?
Yeah, it's...
Wait, I don't see them.
Yeah, you might...
Wait, they might go down further.
Oh, geez.
What?
Hey!
This is 14. Wrong!
Yeah, there's
this
no
way. This
can't
be right, although it does have the Cleveland Browns at the bottom, so maybe it's accurate.
Yeah.
Predict-wise.
So the really cool things about this are that because of the real-time analytic nature of it and being able to see the trends over time, you can say, like, once a certain candidate chooses his vice presidential... running mate,
yeah,
or any of the other major news.
Watch change.
You can actually watch it change in real time, and it also uses things like the there are some online betting forums where you can basically invest money in a candidate.
Now
if
we're
they
talking.
Win.
Now we're talking.
Then you're.
Now we're talking.
Now that's
apparently
generally
the
illegal.
Money is on the Patriots for the 2012
cool.
season.
Cool. I'm glad this went from something that's highly important and intellectual into something that.
Let's go to Vegas. All right, so quick, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
And that's all we have.
So Paul thinks that if he calls me on my Windows phone, which is currently set to vibrate and vibrate only.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, okay. It's going to vibrate here, but then when I pick it up, it's going to magically sense that it's in my hands and stop vibrating.
Okay.
Okay, call me.
What's your number?
Don't be an idiot.
All right.
222.
Uh-huh.
Okay, shh.
Okay.
Let's see. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be able to see it. Okay.
So are you calling me?
Yeah, I'm calling you.
Okay.
Okay. Hold it.
Oh,
wait. Let it. Okay.
Okay,
that's me.
It's vibrating.
Uh-huh. Okay, now pick it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get out of here!
Oh, my God! I'm ready! Yes!
It's ringing! It's like ringing in my ear.
No, that's my phone.
Oh.
Oh, I
it's
told you.
Vibrating.
I told you.
Wow.
Oh.
Somehow I knew that was going to happen.
Hey, Paul Mann. I can't believe it stopped vibrating.
I win again.